So today we're back for our fourth week of new wine, and I'm so excited about the message that the Lord's put on my heart for today. You know, I wanted to do, as I prompted that I would, is just a little snippet of a review to kind of bring us up to date about why we're doing what we're doing today. And so I wanted to look at those three foundational verses that I've put in section A under new wine. We started with a parable, with that whole section in chapter 9 of Matthew, and this, by the way, appears in the other synoptic gospels, but we used the Matthew version about the whole scenario where Jesus talked to both the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist, and he's speaking to his disciples today under the new covenant about new wine needs to be placed in new wineskins, and that the new wine is the new life that Christ gives us, and that we have new hearts, we're new creations, and his living and active word is new and powerful to us and needs to be placed in these pliable, stretchable, new wineskins. And so part and parcel of this process is identifying these old mindsets, these old behaviors, these old ways of seeing things, or these old priorities that we've had that don't that can't really contain adequately all this growth work and this expansive life that God wants to give us, this new wine that he's pouring out. Jesus said, go and learn what this means. So I'm going to just quote that one verse again. This is a key one out of Matthew 9. Go and learn what this means. I think he means business. I think we're talking about signing up for the, you know, the higher level class. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Talked a lot about repentance the last 2 weeks. Wanted to also mention the Hosea 6:6 passage from the New Living. This is in the Old Testament, obviously, and it says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. And hence the song we sang today, I want you to know me. And I want to say back to him, I want to know you. And then Hebrews 4:16, we spent the last 2 weeks looking at that verse, which was kind of like the drop-dead verse of the New Covenant. When the Jewish readers of Hebrews read this passage, they had to be totally blown away. And what it says, we've looked at all three verbs in this passage. Let us then, A, approach, verb number one. So we want to be not just letting God initiate with us, which he does do. Thank you, God, for doing that. But to, what we're doing here in our class is we're going and learning about approaching him and that relational part where we get to be intentional with him. So approach, and approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may, second verb, receive mercy. The mercy of God is all-encompassing. It is yours in Christ because you're under the new covenant. Mercy is already there. Daily receive it because it's there for you new every morning. And then the last verb is to find grace to help us in our time of need. And we looked at that last week about grace. Grace is not only the unmerited favor of God that gives us that mercy, that covers our sins, that has paid our debt in full, but it's also the enabling power of the Holy Spirit that he sent. I think we sang in Come Thou Fount, it says something about seal my heart for your courts above. Well, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians. So that's the seal that promises that we have the grace, the enabling grace, to actually live out this lifestyle of new wine. So you, hopefully you're at this point really encouraged that this is something I can do. Well, I'm really not doing anything but just approaching, receiving, and seeking, you know, which does involve some commitment on our part, doesn't it? And thank you for being here to do that with me. So that's just a little bit of a review. I wanted to mention the way God imparts grace. It's kind of like the same way he imparts mercy. Remember we looked at Lamentations 3, that his mercies are new every morning. Well, guess what? He gives out grace in daily increments. And I'm just going to tell you, anybody in the Get Ahead of God Club in here, I'm going to tell you that I could be the president of that club if anybody, you know, would admit that they are in that group. But God really does, he has consistently throughout the Bible shown that the way he does his grace giving is pretty much daily. Every now and again, he'll give you just a ginormous plop of something that'll get you by for 6 months or whatever. But really, what you mainly get is daily grace. And why do you think he does it that way? Do you want to just have like a 1 month visit, like a 1 day visit with your child, and then the rest of the 6 months just let that be good for 6 months? No. You want to see them every day, right? You want to connect with them. You want to relate with them. You want to do life with them. And so I believe that's one of the reasons why. I've given you a reference here from Exodus 16 that talks about how God gave the manna to the people daily. And of course, I've taught a whole class 1 year on the wilderness, and that, if you didn't know it, is a picture of us Christians, believers under the new covenant, living in the broken world that we live in and learning to live out and walk out with God into his promised land, you know, and to connect with him through all the broken stuff that's out there. So I think that's a foreshadowing of where we are in our lives. And he does it that he may test them whether or not they will walk in his instruction. So, I mean, like I say, that's a test I don't always pass. I'm often very busy planning steps, you know, Q, R, S, T, whatever. I don't even know the letters anymore. But, you know, I'm way out here, and God's, like, back here on A and B for today, you know. And I wanted to remind us again about this daily grace through the verse we looked at on week one that'll kind of launch us into our topic for today, and that's Proverbs 8, 34 through 36. It says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul." So over and over and over, you can read all, you know, the whole record of the Pentateuch about all the patriarchs, and you can look at the Psalms, and you can look at any part of the Bible. God is very clear about pay attention, listen. You need to listen to me. In fact, the verse that is, I've heard this, and I didn't do my fact-checking yesterday, but the number one verse that is repeated in the New Testament is, "He who has an ear," talking about your spiritual ears, "he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." That's us. So listen, 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 listen. So today our topic is, how do we get to know God? How do we get to know him more? It's by listening to him, just like in any other relationship. And so what I've done today, those of you who've been in this class before will recognize the blue paper called Listening to God. What I did, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I have never taught this paper. It's a supplemental paper. I give these out periodically. That it's kind of like, it doesn't matter what topic, if we're studying wilderness, if we're studying Old Testament, New Testament, a book of the Bible, a topic of the Bible, these are things that you need to know, kind of thing. So I wrote this page a number of years ago in response to having some people go, "Listening to God, Kathy, what do you really mean by that? Is God still speaking?" I mean, I thought the canon of Scripture was closed. I didn't think he was doing any new revealing. Okay, so I just want to, let's say this up front. That's the doctrine of this church, and I hold to that same doctrine. He's not adding to Scripture. The Scripture is what the Scripture is. But what I hope to do this morning is to help us get into the mindset of, yeah, but we've got the Holy Spirit of promise within us, and part of his job is to take of God's Word and disclose it to us to help us to understand it, to make it real to us, to apply it to our lives. And so I feel like it's worth a day in class to go over some of these. And because we're doing a study on listening, we're going to be doing a lot of listening today. So hopefully this will be fruitful. I know it'll be repetitive, as I said, for some, but I mean, this, to me, of all topics, I hear my leaders say this over and over again, I just need to get sharper at my listening. I need to get more, you know, focused in my daily connecting with the Lord. And so here we go. Let's look at the letter C. These first 2 points, I'm going to just give you principles from the Bible, and I'm giving you Bible, at least one Bible verse for every single one of them. If you need more Bible verses for every single one of them, let's talk. Please write me. Please call me. I'd be glad to do this. I've got plenty more where this came from. But the first challenge in listening to God is to really believe that God's still speaking and that He'll speak to you. And so the one verse that I'm going to read out of that first bullet point is John 10:27. Jesus is our good shepherd, and He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Y'all, we are equipped. That new heart that we have, our new heart is equipped to connect with our good shepherd. And we have ears to hear His voice. And so we just need to get to the decision point of, am I going to believe that or not? Am I going to take God at His word? And then secondly, is not only just believe that He said it, but to believe it and appropriate it for our own lives. Because you can acknowledge that as a biblical principle, but until you start saying, well, I want some of that, and I believe He means that for me too, it's probably not going to do you a ton of good, right? So He talks about, I have cited several passages on this teaching that are from the Upper Room Discourse, which is, I think, John 14:15-16. And what Jesus is doing is He's talking to the disciples, and He's saying, okay, guys, you're not going to see Me anymore. I'm leaving. But I'm leaving you My Holy Spirit. And I want you to know what to do and how to live when I've left this planet. And so much of this is His instruction to them, and of course, obviously to us as well, about how to do that. So that's true of this verse, John 14:21. It says, and I'll just read the second half, I will reveal Myself to each one of them. And so the question is, do we believe that? And do we receive that personally? So I'm going to do a little listening. I have given you just a tiny space to write on. But let's do our first little listening exercise. And as usual, I'm going to make it a prayer. Father, we just ask You, as we take these few moments to examine our hearts and our deepest conviction about this promise that You've made to us, about speaking to us and us hearing Your voice. Lord, help us to see, help us to honestly evaluate, where am I in terms of truly believing that You will communicate with me personally. Okay, so moving on, I'm on page 2 now, and I've switched it up, by the way. It only took me 4 weeks to kind of get my format down pat. I put the one thing that we're going to do at the end of the paper, which seems more logical. So anyway, so we're now on the same page. Yay. Okay, so my notes are, say, number 2, page 2, and I think your notes probably say page 2, and it starts here at the top with developing listening skills takes practice. Can I just tell you how frustrated I was in my first discipleship class that I took many moons ago? I saw there were several older women, some of them still attend this church, that had these incredible prayer lives, and they communed with God daily, and they would say, oh, and you're not going to believe what the Lord showed me. And I'm sitting there going, What do you mean? I mean, how do you even, how, what? I mean, I want that. And I was so frustrated. But y'all, I had absolutely no practice at knowing how to be still and listen. And so these are some of the things. First of all, these are scriptural principles that God gives us for getting more practiced at this. But it does take practice. And I, for those of you who may not have a whole lot of practice at this, let me just say this as a word of encouragement, is that God would way rather have you seeking him to fellowship with him and to get to know him than you to be able to teach some kind of seminary class about the Bible. Knowing about God is a valuable thing. Knowing information about God and theology about God is a valuable thing. I've given you verses that say that. But I'm going to tell you, the game changer is not going to be that kind of knowledge. The game changer is that relational connection that you have with the Lord. And so we do want to practice. We do want to acquire a taste for God's word. And sometimes if we've been busy filling ourselves up with a diet of cultural information. I mean, I'm like, hey girls, I get a lot of fashion blogs in my inbox. I get a lot of recipes in my inbox. I am interested in other things too. I have a big flow of information coming my way. But I'm also saying, so I have acquired a taste for cooking, for example. The same goes with acquiring a taste for fellowshipping with God and really wanting to sit down with him. So I just say that to you, that as you build your baseline of scriptural knowledge, which guess what? Every Tuesday morning you're doing that, and every time you go to church and listen to a sermon, you're doing that, and every time you go to Sunday school, you're doing that, and every podcast that's biblical, you're doing that. So my thought would be, that's probably enough. Building up biblical knowledge, because most of us err on the side of not sitting down and doing the relational part. Just a suggestion. Okay, so the one verse in this little section I do want to read is Romans 10:17, because what it encourages us to do, bless you, is meditate. Meditate is different than just read for information. Meditate is to take the content and to go over it and over it and over it in bite-sized pieces, repetitively, in such a way that you digest it and that it becomes kind of like when we eat regular food, kind of like that manna. It becomes kind of part of your DNA, becomes part of you. And so Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me make a little note on the original language here, which I did not put in the notes. In that next to third to the last word there, hearing by the word of God. That word is not the word logos, which is the means the Greek word. There's two words for word in the Greek. One's logos, that means written word. And most oftentimes you will see that is the original language for many, many things about the word of God. This word is the word, lesser used word called rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And what it means, if you look in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, is that it is a personal message. And so what we want to do is, let's say the verse that you've really jumped off on this year is, let us then approach with confidence God's throne of grace. Let's just take that as an example. What I would suggest and what I do as a practice that has really been fruitful is I just stay with that instead of trying to pile up like 7 Bible verses a day and then go back and you have 49 verses for the week or whatever. I really try to focus on just a handful of things that I feel like are the most meaningful, I feel the greatest perceived need, I feel like are the most consistent things that I keep sensing, oh, this feels like it's got some energy and faith behind it. Focus on those. Chew on them. Pray them back to God. That's meditating. And when you do that, guess what's going to happen? Faith will be birthed. Faith I read somewhere this week is not us doing more works. You know, we've been talking about the covenant of works versus the covenant of grace. Faith is simply going to be the overflow of when you sit before the Lord and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes that word from His written Logos word and lights it up to your heart. And you're going to go, oh, I believe it. I mean, because you're going to know that you've heard from the Lord. You're going to know that that is for you. And you're going to know that if He can say it, He can do it. And it's not about you working up enough faith. Faith is just simply trusting in the faithfulness of God to do what He said. Isn't that relaxing? Just thinking, oh, well, I don't have to be some giant of faith. I just need to have a mustard seed of faith. And the way I get more of that is just to listen. Okay, so that's that. Then I've got this next little section of talking about how, as we practice, we're going to grow in our ability to discern. Was that God or was it not? People have asked me several times over the years, will you come and talk to us about this whole thing about listening to God? Because you talk about that a lot in your talks, and we want to know how to do that. And the number one question I get is, how do you know it was God? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, as I said, that faith that comes is a very, it's very characteristic of something, you know, that when the Holy Spirit has taken a scripture and kind of applied it to my heart, that faith that is birthed through that is very much evidence that it does come from God. And we want to wait on that. We want to wait on the Holy Spirit to do that, trusting that He will, expecting that He will. And let me share a verse that Jesus gave in that Upper Room Discourse, John 16, 13 and 14, right there kind of in the middle of your page 2. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So I think you'll recognize, anybody who's been in here for very long, I pray that almost every week, is that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, would come and take the word of truth and apply it to our hearts. And so Jesus told His disciples, and He's telling us, that's what the Spirit's going to do. He's the Spirit of truth. And in the kind of along the lines, number 8, of this daily grace kind of thing, that, you know, I kind of want the whole enchilada, don't you? I want to know how my children are going to turn out. And my grandson's going to turn out, and how this whole health thing I'm going through is going to turn out, and all of that. I want to know it all. But what God's going to do is He's just going to give you what you need to know for today. And so, again, from the Upper Room Discourse, John 16, 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So just that's characteristic of God. If you get, just think, well, there He goes again. He's given me just that one little crumb that I needed to make it through the day. But it is enough, you know. And I will say, as you pursue this practice, as you let go of your old wineskins and your ways of thinking, you are going to gain discernment. You're going to know the difference. And I think one of the ways that we gain that is by really valuing when we do get that moment where we think, that I do believe was the Holy Spirit. I believe God just imparted that and applied that to my heart. And I'm going to just say I'm a gigantic fan of writing it down. Y'all, this is precious. This is a precious thing. And so when I write it down, I want to go back and do what I said before. I mean, even though He's already kind of revealed it to my heart and applied it to my heart, I want to go back and value that And I want to go over it, and I want to go and learn more about what that means, and I want to honor that, and I want to be obedient to it. And so as we do that, this verse in Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God, says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will observe your word, hearing, receiving, there's that word again, loving, and obeying it. So four good verbs for us to practice, which I think will cause our discernment to grow. Okay, I've got my numbering wrong here, but we've got another listening exercise. So instead of items F through J, this should be items 6 through 10. Okay, and I'll prompt you on those, but we've got a listening exercise. So let me pray that for us, and you can make a couple of notes here. Lord, which of these principles about listening to you present the greatest challenge to me? And those would be waiting on God, that you speak specifically to me, that you're going to bring the light that I need for today, that I'm going to have the discernment and the recognition that I need, and my sense of value about your word and having fellowship with you. So which one of those is the greatest challenge? Okay, and I'd like to tack on a prayer to that. Lord, I just would ask, I'm loving this prayer that you've given us to have mercy, O Lord. And Father, I just know for me, and over the years as I've watched so many women struggle in their relationship with you, that sometimes it's not about the actual nuts and bolts of listening to you, but it may be a deeper root issue, Father. So I pray that in these days to come, that if there's something beneath the surface that's putting interference on the line, I ask, Lord, that you would just raise that to the surface and raise that to each one's awareness that might apply to. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. And I'm referring in that prayer to old wineskins that may be just in place that we're not recognizing. I believe that the Lord will make those kind of things clear to us. Let's talk about sharpening our listening. Some more 9 fabulous tips for sharpening your spiritual ears. So we're going and learning what Jesus means by saying, or what the Lord meant when he said, I want you to know me. And the way that he says over and over again in Scripture is to listen. And so the first thing that we want to be sure of is, did the message that I believe the Lord spoke to my heart, did it agree with the whole counsel of Scripture? It will always, 100% of the time, no exception, agree with the whole counsel of Scripture, the whole nature of God, and the whole gospel. It will. And please don't hear me say anything different than that. That may be a sticking point if you are. I've had several people say, you know, I didn't learn a ton about the Bible growing up. I mean, I know some stuff about the Bible, but I don't know a lot of Bible verses. So please, if you fall into that category, lean on your leader. Reach out to me. Reach out to a friend who may be ahead of you in the faith, who can help you go, yeah, that's biblical, or let's pray some more about that. And I think the Lord will, and I'm about to read you a verse here in a second, that says the Lord will make that plain to you. He will. So you want it to agree with the whole counsel of Scripture. And I love this verse in Acts that just kind of says that, the Acts 17:11, talking about the new church in the book of Acts. They received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So that's, just, again, you want to be careful and about what you let into your heart. Secondly, a phrase that I've really loved for a long time is your next right thing. This is one of the ways you know this is God. I sort of hinted at this a minute ago about this daily grace, but God's going to pretty much always give you your next right, just about enough light to take your next step, do your next right thing. And I apologize for not putting my very, very favorite verse about this on the paper. It's Psalm 32:8. This is one I cut my teeth on very early in this journey. Psalm 32:8 says, God speaking, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. How great is that? I mean, I would just go, well, God, you said that you would instruct me and teach me the way I should go, and so I'm just going to believe you to do that. I mean, y'all, I was such a baby. I was such a baby. But I will say I had a lot of childlike faith, and I just thought, well, it's in the Bible. I'm just going to ask. And you know what? It started happening, and I went from frustrated in my walk with the Lord to, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get up in the morning and see. You know, I mean, it's just talking about game changer, talking about transformation. This topic is the reason I keep coming back every year to do this. This is the one. If you don't learn any other thing besides this, I want you to go and learn what this means, because it is talking about abundant life, talking about new wine being poured out. This is the one. So I just can't encourage you enough. That light thing, a verse that I've also loved for a long time, is that Proverbs 4:18 verse that says, the way of the righteous, that's us, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. God is going to walk you through whatever you're walking through. He's going to give you the light you need for today to do your next right thing and your next right thing until you get done with that part of your journey. He's very faithful to do it that way. Number three, and this kind of, the three and four kind of go together. We talked about this at length last week, so I'm not going to really even talk about number four, but you're always, if you want to know, is this something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart? Here's the test. Does it invite me to a closer relationship with the Lord? Is it knitting? Is it relational? Is it something that makes me more like the Lord? Is it something that makes me want to know Him more? Revelation 3:20 has been interpreted in different ways. Some people use this as a salvation verse, but I do believe it means fellowship. Either way, daily fellowship, I believe it can apply here too. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And I was reading this yesterday, and it made me think about, okay, who in here loves to go to lunch with a girlfriend, and you start about like 12:30, and then you look down at your watch and you go, oh, okay, I got a carpool. Oh my gosh, it's almost 3 o'clock. I mean, that to me is what this is. It's like he's saying, I want to sit down at the table with you, and I just want to connect about everything. That is the tone of the way the Lord speaks. He wants to know, he knows you, but he wants you to know him, and he wants y'all to be deeply connected and intimate. And if he is telling you something that says, sister, you have stepped out of the light and into the dark, did you see what happened over there? That wasn't my way. He's going to do that as we went in great detail last week to say, with gentle conviction and love, never condemnation. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And I would like to say, when we're not sure, because sometimes we won't be, I can tell you, there's some stuff I've got written in my journal I'm still waiting for. I don't know what that verse means. I think I'm supposed to pay attention to it, but I'm not really sure what it means or, you know, where it applies in my life. That God's going to confirm it. He's a God that if you will look at the lives of every biblical character out there, if you look back at your own experience of walking with the Lord, He's going to show you if you want to know. If your heart is open to Him, He's going to show you. John 7:17 is the verse I've put there. And it just says, if anyone wills to do His will, if He has your yes on the front end, you're going to know concerning the doctrine whether or not it's from God. So just ask Him for a confirmation. And then let's talk about dry spells. Ever have a dry spell in your time with the Lord? I can tell you I do. Especially when circumstances are hard, you know. And that can be for one of a couple of reasons. And I felt like it was important to address that. The first reason that we're not going to, it's just, the first reason is would be an obvious one that you think, oh, okay, good, I'm glad you mentioned that. Sometimes it just means, you know that verse, you don't really know what it means yet, that you're waiting on God. Sometimes we're just waiting. And it feels kind of dry because it's just sitting there and nothing's really happening about it. Sometimes you're just waiting on more. But some of the times, the dryness is because of receiver problems. Remember we talked about our receiver and how receiving is hard for us. So I wanted to address four issues about our receiver. The first one is, am I practicing listening consistently? And y'all, sometimes for me the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. I'll just be honest with you. But it does explain the dryness, doesn't it? If I haven't sat down, if I haven't been still, probably going to be a little bit on the dry side. So that's one. The second thing is, when God does apply His word to my heart, what do I do with it? Do I just say, oh, that was neat? Maybe that was neat and I wrote it down in my book. Or do I step out in faith? Because usually if God's given you, many times, there's often a response that we can make to that. Whether it's just a yes, Lord, I need more and I'm waiting for you to show me that. Or sometimes it's a faith step to like pick up the phone or write that text or say yes to that assignment or whatever. So I think I love that verse. Again, this is referring to the wilderness. The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed by faith. So we want to respond in faith. The third reason that we can be dry, besides the waiting thing, is not having processed adequately what the Lord said. You know, sometimes we can just go, oh, yeah, that's probably about my marriage. Yeah, I got it. And then not really take the time to just work it into practice in that situation. So I liked what 2 Timothy 2:7 said, and this is the Amplified. It says, think over these things I am saying, understand them, and grasp their application. For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Isn't that a great promise? He's not gonna just throw you out there with the wolves. If he's gonna guide you, he's gonna show you then the next, you know, how to move forward with it. And then lastly, and sadly, I'd have to admit that have I been obedient at times, disobedient at times to what the Lord said to me? Have I put off obedience? Have I just thought, well, it may not mean that, and that's uncomfortable, and I really don't want to do that? Yeah, I've done that. And so sometimes it is dry because God's waiting on us to be obedient. So let's talk about those four things now in our listening. That's the, am I being consistent? Am I moving out in faith? Am I processing and applying? Have I been disobedient? So, Lord, we're going to come to you and listen now here at the bottom of page 3. So, Father, as we look back over those four things, I would like to ask if you would have the Holy Spirit show each one of us where it might be true that one of these principles is contributing to any lack of connection or dryness in our connection with you. And Lord, I got ahead of myself, but I am going to pray it again. I guess you wanted me to pray this twice. If there's any root issue underneath that, any of those issues, would you be faithful, Lord, to show us so that we can resolve whatever there may be underneath the surface? And I just ask it in Jesus' name. Okay, last page, page 4. Let's talk about priorities. Remember, that was one of the things that we learned on week 1, is that one of the main things that Jesus addressed when he gave the parable of new wine, the first one was your perspectives. How do you see it? Do you see it like he sees it? The second one was, what are your priorities? And ouch, I know, it's an ouch. Everybody, I have to say, in the world that we live in, with all the information coming our way, this just needs to be a regular part of our practice, y'all. It needs to be a regular part of our practice, whether it's in our marriage or whether it's in our calling in a career path, whether it's in our parenting, especially in our listening with God. We just kind of need to do pretty regular checkups on priorities because they can drift, can't they? I mean, there's just so many distractions. So when I mentioned these four principles, one, am I too hurried and distracted to hear clearly? And I felt like this was such a relevant verse, Mark 4:19. This is from the parable of the sower that Jesus spoke. He said, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Ever experienced that? I have. Yeah, so we really want to be watchful about that distraction thing and about that being in a rush. I would love to spend 2 solid hours every morning. I mean, I really wish I had a 27-hour day so I could just take those extra hours and just sit at Jesus' feet. But even, y'all, if it's a short window of time, just pray and ask the Lord to give you just the ability to be still. And he commands it in Psalm 46, be still. So just let's ask him, Lord, would you make that true of me? I need your help here, you know. Secondly, is my focus on earthly answers instead of knowing God more? And y'all, this is another ouch. Are you focused on the outcome? I'm going to tell you, I want to be going on a walk with everybody in this room right now instead of sitting on my stool and walking on my crutches and riding on my walker. But that can't be the focus of my prayer, is the outcome. The focus of my prayer has got to be that I would listen to God, know him, fellowship with him, and connect with his purposes for my life instead of, did Jackson make the basketball team? Is Miralee ever going to get a job in her career path? Is my mother ever going to go to glory? She's 96 years old. You know, whatever it is that's on your front burner that you're praying for, is it more about the answer that you want? Or is it more about knowing God? I mean, y'all, that's not an easy one. And I'm not saying I've got it down pat. I'm just saying, that's where we cry to God, have mercy. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes focused on you and to know you, because that's what really this is all about. Number 12, have I been stingy with my time? You know, Jesus said, can't you wait and watch with me for 1 hour? Can you wait and watch with me for 15 minutes would be a question. You know, I mean, I can just tell you, I've got my list. I have a list every single day, and I like to mark it off, and I like to add to my list when I do something that I didn't write down. You know, so it's a temptation to be about your agenda instead of about sitting down with the Lord and knowing him and listening to him. And then lastly, this is our last principle, and I hope you don't feel like the fire hose today. I hope most of these are common sense things that you've already familiar with. But do I, number 13, do I have a wholehearted commitment to having the Holy Spirit take the lead in my life? And what I would call that, just by way of a phrase, is a yes, Lord mentality. Is when you come to God, when you listen to him for guidance, when you ask him, instruct me and teach me in the way I should go, counsel me with your eye upon me, are you ready to say yes to what he shows you? Or do you want to hedge? Or do you want to wait and decide until you hear what he, you know, what comes out and then decide? And I'm going to say it works way better with the yes, Lord mentality. I mean, because to me, it's kind of, said it before, I'll say it again, it's kind of a little bit of an oxymoron to say no, Lord, if he's Lord. The answer is, you know, you want it to be yes there. So let's keep focused on the goal, it says in Philippians 3:15. In the message. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Isn't that a sweet promise? He knows how weak we are, y'all. He does. And so let's listen one last time. Before we do our, I'm going to do a quick testimony and then a one thing. So, Father, we come to you now and we ask you, Lord, to please show us anywhere where we may have allowed our focus and our priorities to drift away from you and from knowing you more. So please just show us now. Okay, is everybody good? Y'all good? You still with me? Okay, hopefully you're not too overwhelmed. All right, let me just tell you just a little bit about what's going on with me, and I'm going to make this really brief. I don't want to focus on my health. I don't want to talk about this anymore, but I feel like that's what I'm living right now, and that's where God's speaking right now, and that's where I'm having to sit daily at his feet and really receive and seek out to receive his mercy and to seek out and find that grace that's mine every day. And I've gone from 2 hip replacements that went pretty well until middle of July, when things started getting weird, and it was like I was doing so great. I was just doing great. And it just got weirder and weirder, and particularly on this left side, it just wasn't responding well. I've been back and back and back to the doctor, and eventually, several weeks ago, my hip surgeon said, there's nothing wrong with those 2 new hips. They're great. He said, let's go get an MRI of your back. And what I found out, and I don't know what I've said and what I haven't said to any of you, so I'm just going to tell you this little snippet of a story, is that I have got a bone spur, a herniated disc, and some other malfunction in my lower spine, which is responsible for the nerve, is pinching on the nerve that runs down this leg, which means, yay, my hip's okay, boo, my leg's not working very well. And I have gone from running 30 miles a week, running marathons, half marathons, to doing a lot of yoga, to doing a lot of weightlifting, to doing a lot of any other kind of exercises God will let me do, because I love it, being a very fast and furious moving person that's active, to a person who really can't get in the shower without her husband being there. I mean that's just my reality right now. And would I be honest if I told you that I have not had those moments where I've cried out to God and said, why is all this happening, God? Why? Why have you let all these things happen? Why? Yes, I've done that. I've cried out, heal me, God. And, you know, I do believe when I was going into my hip surgeries that there was a verse that kept coming up over and over. I just kept seeing it. It was Jeremiah 30:17. And I feel like it's the thing that I really do have faith to believe for this season. And what it says is, I will restore you to health. I will restore you to health, and I will heal your wounds. That was the promise I felt like the Lord gave me. And can I just say, at October the 4th, after we've been doing this since, you know, July 15th to October the 4th, can I just tell you how many wounds that God's healing in my life, how many old wineskins he's put his finger on, how many mindsets, how many praying amisses I have realized in my own life? A ton. And so I know that's his priority. I know the Lord well enough. I've walked with him long enough that he cares. The Lord looks at the heart, he says in 2 Samuel 16:7. The Lord looks at the heart. He's so much more concerned about my heart. He's so much more concerned about my relationship with him and knowing him. Because he knows that when I'm laying in the bed like my mother at age 96 and on my way to go home, that's what's going to matter, y'all. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing I'm going to take with me. That. And whether I get my yard straightened up because it looks like a mess right now, or whether I ever walk again, or ever wear a size whatever jeans again, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like those things are losing their luster. The glitter's falling off of all of that. I just need to know him every single day. I just need to know he's right there with me. And you know what I can tell you? I know it. 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 And his goodness and his mercy and his grace is enough. It's enough. And I truly mean it. I hope I get to go on a walk with you, but if I don't, I want to know Jesus. And I would tell you that that is worth way more than any of the other things I mentioned or any other thing that I could think of. And so I would encourage you to practice. I have the privilege. I thank God for the privilege that I have spent many, many years being hungry and thirsty and building an arsenal of knowing him. So grateful. Why? Why did he choose to let me know this? I don't know. But I'm so grateful. And I was reminded of the verse in Matthew 13 that says, blessed are your eyes that see and your ears that hear, for prophets of old longed to see and hear, but they did not. And so why me, Lord? Why would you choose to speak to me? I don't know, but I'm so grateful because it is enough. And so I would just encourage you to do what it says in Psalm 34:6. Taste and see every day. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I guess I'll just close with that. And I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. So let me close this in prayer, and we can write our one thing. Father, thank you. For how clear it is to me that your word promises that we can know you, Lord, that we can know you in personal fellowship, Lord, that we can have growth in our relationship with you that's more than just salvation, but that it is a relational friendship. It is a my God to my people kind of relationship. It is a relationship of a shepherd to a sheep. That, Lord, you long to sit down with us, that you want us more than anything to know you in whatever circumstance we may face, Lord. Thank you for the truth. The truth is that you, Lord Jesus, are the pearl of great price. Lord, may we know that. May we be convinced of that. May we stand on that in faith and say, yes, Lord, yes, I want to know you more than I want all this other stuff that is distracting me. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you truly are the one thing that satisfies above all else. And so, Father, we bless you and thank you for your faithfulness, for your mercy, for your grace, and especially for your invitation for us to approach you in our time of need, Lord. I pray that we would not be foolish, but that we would be wise, and that we would take that invitation seriously, Lord, and that we would put it into practice. And we know that you're going to be so faithful, Lord. You are such a faithful and true God. And so, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. And just pray that you would seal us today with this teaching and cause us to have the faith to respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.